All right, Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 14 through 19 tonight. And we're looking at Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And tonight we're going to look at how God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. The sun, the moon, and the stars. And on the first day, what did God create? Anybody remember? Light. He created light. Okay, now, up until that point, when God created in Genesis chapter 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, what was there when God created? It was just like a blob. It was just kind of like a bag of worms. Then God created light. Now, who is the source of light? God is the source of light, right? And so up until this point in verses 3 and 5, it was like a mist that was around the world. And just enough, though, for some rays of the sun to kind of peek its way through, or sun, or from light. Second day, what did God create? Starts with the F. Firmament. Now, what do we know the firmament to be? What's that? Okay, you're close. The atmosphere. If you remember how the Bible talks about heaven, that when the Bible talks about heaven, many times, especially in the Old Testament, when it talks about heaven, it is not talking about the dwelling place of God. Sometimes it's talking about our atmosphere that we live in. There is 3 degrees of heaven in Scripture. There is the first heaven, that is our atmosphere. There is the second heaven, which is the outer space. And then there is the third heaven, and that is what we know as heaven, where God dwells and where His saints go when we pass, and where Christ is now. That is the third heaven. How do I know that? Because Paul talked about the third heaven, where he said that, I know of a man of whom I cannot tell. He knew who it was himself. But he did not want to sound prideful about it. So he said, I know of a man I cannot tell that was taken to the third heaven and heard things and saw things that he cannot tell. Now, why could he not tell it? Because he knew that those that were listening to him and reading his letters, they could not bear it. They could not bear what the Apostle Paul had seen. So that is the third heaven. The third day, we talked about last week, what did he create? Somebody said vegetation, okay. The ground, okay, what else? The waters, the oceans, the seas, the rivers, the lakes, the streams, and the dry land, and the vegetation. All the grasses, all the flowers, bushes, vegetables, trees. So now, day one, we have light. Day two, we have firmament. Day three, we have all of the vegetation. So now the earth is beginning to take color. Is beginning to look like what we see as Earth. And by the way, let me tell you that Gerald Foster and I went and saw a film yesterday called The First Man, which is the story of Neil Armstrong and the first astronauts that led up to Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin and Michael Collins landing on the moon. It was a top-notch movie. Hot notch. I mean, it really opens up your eyes to the struggles that those guys went through emotionally, physically. There were 6 astronauts, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, there were 9 astronauts that died before the Apollo 11 actually went and landed on the moon. Neil Armstrong was supposed to have been the third. He was on third on the list, but everybody above him either got killed in plane crashes or died in experimenting. And he wasn't even supposed to be on the top list. And it was a tremendous film. There are some people that are knocking it because it didn't show Neil Armstrong planting the flag. Okay, well, that's not the focus of the film. The focus of the film was the leading up to that. But now it does show, from a very dramatic part of the film, it shows the lunar module with the flag and the Earth off in the background. So it does show that. It just doesn't show them planting it. But once again, that's not the focus of the film. But really, the toll that it took on them emotionally, with their marriage, family, children. I mean, it really does a great job. So I thought it was a very, very well done film. And it really, really makes you appreciate what they went through. So now, up until this point, with day three, the Earth is beginning to take color. Trees. Now, here's a question. The evolutionists will try to say, will try to prove, Pastor King, you might want to turn the air down a little bit. I know I knocked it down, but I can see some of the ladies are starting to bundle up. Yeah. But the evolutionists will try to use the age of trees to prove their point, especially like with petrified wood and all of those things. What is a good counterpoint that creationists use to combat their argument of saying, well, there we have a tree that's billions of years old. There we have it right there. That proves right there that the Earth is billions of years old. How can we as creationists combat that? Pastor Ken?
Well, if trees were created before the sun, did they stand for thousands of years without the sun?
No.
The next 24-hour day, they did have the sun.
Right. That they did have light. They did have a source of light, but it was 24 hours. But what's another way, Diane? There you go.
And also, they proved that petrified wood and stuff can be formed way faster than they think.
Yeah.
Because over in Mount St. Helens, they have petrified wood that's formed and it happens
instantaneously. Yeah. Instantaneously. Okay. She said, number one, that God created things with age. And number two, they like to use that petrified wood is millions of years old. Well, when Mount St. Helens exploded, they have already found wood that is already petrified. Because of the heat from Mount St. Helens, when it blew its top, it was immediately petrified. Immediately. Another thing, yes, sir. He was a man. That's exactly right. He was created as a man. Right.
They weren't created
as babies. Right. He's created as a man. Another thing that they try to use is stalactites. Y'all know what a stalactite is, right? It's these things that ice that accumulates in caverns. So they try to say that a stalactite, it takes millions of years to get to that point of length. Okay, there are caverns up in the mountains of, I think it's Linville Caverns, I think, that's got all these stalactites. And of course, when you go through there, you see the little signs that say, 10 million years ago, this stalactite started. Well, did you know that in the subway of New York City, they have found stalactites the same length, the same width, even, in fact, they're even bigger than the stalactites they have found in the caverns of North Carolina. I don't think that the subway system, now some of the rats that are probably in the subway system of New York, probably they think are, millions of years old. But I don't think the subway, now it might smell like it's millions of years old in some parts of it, But I don't think that the subway system is millions of years old. You have something, Pastor Kim? Right. Right. It's exactly right. It's exactly right. So now let's look at this tonight, and we're probably going to finish a few minutes early, but we'll see. So let's look at verses 14 through 15 of Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the night from the day, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. So point number one is God's word created and distributed light upon the earth. Now the word lights that we see here in this verse is from a Hebrew word that means light bearers or luminaries. Y'all know about luminaries, right? Especially at Christmas time. You drive through a neighborhood and people put luminaries in their driveways or around the circles in their around their driveways and whatnot. So it's a luminary. What the word here means, it refers to heavenly bodies. What are those heavenly bodies? They're broken down into three categories. Number one is the sun. Number two is the moon. And number three is the stars. Now, I want you to note something here. That God is not creating the sun, moon, and the stars. According to what many commentators already believe, is that those things have already been created. They have just not been set in their places yet. You following me? That when God created the light in, what was it, verse 3, that is when he created the sun, moon, and the stars, but he had not put them in their places yet. So now we are seeing that those items of the sun, moon, and the stars are now being placed in their functions, their functional capacities. He is now dealing with light upon the earth. Now, what does the sun do in the mornings? Okay, let's take for example, you get up in the morning and it's quite foggy. You turn on WREL or WTVD or Channel 17 or whatever weather you watch in the mornings. And there's a fog alert. What does the sun do about 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning? Burns it off. So up until this point, the earth has just been one fog, just a mist in our atmosphere. Now the sun is beginning to be put in place by God. And it is beginning to perform its function, and that is to heat the earth during the day. So let me give you a few points here underneath this. The purpose of the sun, five major functions. Number one, it divides day from night and provides a period of light and of darkness. So the sun divides the day from night, and it provides a period of light from darkness. This is a very, very important function of the sun. For light upon earth comes from the sun. Is the earth round or flat? Did you say flat?
I said round.
Oh, okay. You know, there are people that believe it's flat. You know one? What's his argument? Really? Yeah. Yeah, they're all fake. Yeah, that's yeah. It's like the landing on the moon. It never happened, you know. Well, the earth is round. It revolves on an axis. As it revolves, it is revolving at a speed of about 1,000 miles per hour. That's pretty fast. So as it is rotating, it rotates at exactly 23 hours, 56 minutes, and 4.1 seconds. Rounded off to what? 24 hours. That is where we have the day. So one half of the earth is always in the sun. The other half is always in the what? The dark. Is at night. So when a part of the earth rotates and faces the sun, that is when it gives time for man to get up and to get to work. And then when it rotates, guessing around the 12-hour period, it is time then for man to rest. God did that by design. He did that by design. The division of day and night is essential for man. It is essential for man to work during the day and to rest at night. So the next thing, they give signs for the earth. They give us signs for the earth. The word signs that we see in verse 14 means something that is engraved or marked. Now, what are these signs? Number one, they can be used for direction. Be used for direction. Back in the day of the Pirates of the Caribbean, and when sailors used to sail by maps, they didn't have GPSs like we do today and all of these things. They actually had to use instruments and use the stars and the galaxies in order to be able to go in their direction that they needed to go. To be used for direction, either by land or sea, using a compass. Also, they indicate the weather. They indicate the weather. You know how you can look at a moon and tell if it's going to rain the next day? Anybody know? What's that? There's a circle around the moon. I remember. Or it could be snow, right. But it's going to be precipitation. Yeah. There's a circle around the moon. You know, Christ talked about how you can look at the sun and the moon and be able to tell what the weather was going to be. And he talked about that in Matthew 16, where he said, "When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering." And Christ uses this as a teaching point to the religious elite, where he says that, "Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the sign of the times." And then thirdly, the most important of the three, that they declare the glory of God. They declare the glory of God. We see that over and over and over in the Psalms. We see it in Psalm 19, that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Psalm 97, 6, "The heavens declare the righteousness, and all the people see his glory." But also, the stars, the moon, the sun, can also be used as a means of pointing people. Don't go to the seasons yet. You're skipping ahead of me, Tim. Can also be used to point people to the Lord. Now, how is that? Romans 1:20. Romans 1:20 simply says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So when that person stands before God and says, "No one ever told me about Christ." Well, yeah, I did. I told you about my son. I told you. Well, where? Creation. You should have known that there is a creator God. And worship to me. Not worship the trees. Not worship some false God that you've made up. But worship me. Because I created those things. So then the next thing, Tim, you can go ahead and jump ahead now, is they provide seasons. You know how our flu shot is made? Not in a factory. I'm not talking about that. From where? Okay. There you go. Our summer is what in the southern hemisphere? Winter. They have already had their flu season. So our flu season and our flu shots is based off of the previous flu season that is in the southern hemisphere. So what is my point here? That God designed the earth so that when it is our summer, it is in the southern hemisphere, it is their winter, and vice versa. So when we are having winter, the southern hemisphere is having their summer. So God designed the earth to be able to rotate in its axis around the sun so that we have different seasons. And God designed all of the seasons with a purpose. Let's look at those purposes. We have let me give you a couple of things here. How long does it take for the earth to revolve around the sun? 365 days, which is our year. That's how we measure our years. 1 year is one trip, one revolution around the sun. The axis of the earth is tilted at 23.5 degrees. Now think of this for a moment. That if the earth was 1 degree closer to the sun, we would burn to death. If it was 1 degree away from the sun, we would all freeze to death. God placed the earth perfectly at its point and at its tilt perfectly for man to survive. Now, how a person can say that that just happened by coincidence is beyond me. They have to acknowledge, if they would be intellectually honest, that there is an intelligent designer behind all of that. So in this tilt, the earth revolves that creates the seasons of the year. Now, what is the purpose behind the seasons? I'm going to give you three or four of them. Number one is for agriculture. Can you grow tomatoes in the winter? Well, you can if you have a greenhouse. But you can't in your yard. Why? It's too cold. Can you grow fruits and vegetables? No, you can't. It's too cold. But you can a latter part of the spring and into summer. For the migration of animals. Have the hummingbirds started migrating down south yet? Isn't it around this time that they start migrating down south? Yours are gone? Yeah? Okay, you'll start seeing as the weather begins to change. You'll start seeing just by the droves just flying down south.
There was such a large group of Canadian geese flying yesterday. We thought it was a pack of barking dogs.
Really? I tell you one thing, I'm ready to get going with some mosquitoes. I went out to cut my grass the other week. I thought a drone was coming at me. I mean, just like a cloud come up out of my grass. Do you really? Wow. So for the migration of animals. Next is for celebrations. The Jewish calendar and their celebrations is based off of different times of seasons. And then there's the last one, that is for variety and beauty. For variety and beauty. We wouldn't have all of this as it was for the fall. It's my favorite time of the year. That's why I love to see football season coming. Because you know that cool weather is on the way when football season starts. That's right. For variety and for beauty. And then letter D of this point here is it provides days and years. Provides day, provides years. And then letter E, it provides light upon the earth. Provides light. And we can go on a little bit further with this, but the main point is provides light. We receive warmth. And then what are those last four words at the end of verse 15? What is it? And it was what? So. And it was so. What does it mean by it was so? What God had done was done. It was finished here. He commanded light to be distributed upon the earth, and it happens. God commanded it, which means this. His word cannot be resisted. Now, there are men and women that today try to resist God's word, but in eternity they will not be able to resist God's word. So let's go to the second point. And the second point is that God made the sun, moon, and stars that provide light for the earth. And we see this in verses 16 and 17. All right, so God now breaks it down by these three lights. Then God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them. So here we have that God had already created them, but now God sets them. He sets them in place. He sets the sun in its place. He sets the moon in its place, and he sets the stars in their places. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. Now let's read verse 18 where it says, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. So what is the great light? Sun. What is the lesser light? The moon. And what are the rest? The stars. Okay? So does the moon give off light? No, it reflects light. It reflects light off the what? Off of the sun. So I want to give you a couple of points here. They exist because God created them. They exist because God created them. The sun, moon, and stars are not eternal. They had to have a beginning. They did not come by chance or by random or by some eternal combustion. The physical laws that God placed for these things to function, God created the physical laws. And they were created by God and God alone. The next thing with letter B underneath this is that the heavenly bees were created to rule the day and night, not the life of man. Now I'm gonna go a little off here for a moment. There are those that allow the sun and the moon and the stars to rule them. How do they do that? There is an item in the newspaper that people read on a daily basis, and they use that to determine how they live and what they do on that day. What is that called? The horoscope. Now, there is a difference between astrology and astronomy. Big difference. Astrology is simply the study, the science of the universe. So when you hear a person say that they are an astrologist, all they are is a scientist that studies the universe. They study the sun, they study the moon, they study the stars, they study all the planets. Astronomy is devilish. That is the worship of the sun, the moon, and the stars. That is what they try to say the horoscope is based off of, is in palm readers and those types of individuals that say, well, the earth is placed at this point with these stars, and so therefore these events are going to happen in your life. No, they're not. Okay, that is allowing those events to rule you. The only things that the sun and the moon is to rule is the day and the night. That is it. So astrology and worship are false beliefs and false worship. Stay away from the horoscope. Don't even dabble with it. Don't play around with it. It is not something to play around with. It is opening, I personally believe, that by you reading the horoscope, even if it's for fun. Now, scriptures clearly say to abstain from even the appearance of evil. That by even reading it, you are giving an open door to satanic oppression. Not possession, because Satan cannot possess a Christian, but he sure can oppress a person. He can oppress a Christian. And so don't dabble with it. Don't mess with it. It is to be avoided at all cost. So the next thing is this, and we'll be done here in just a moment. So they exist because God created them. And then number three. Oh, I didn't fill in the blanks here, did I? All right. God saw that his creation was good. Yep. They are good, and they have fulfilled its function. They have fulfilled its function. Let's look at verses 18 and 19. And to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Now here's a little tidbit for you. Why do every one of these, beginning with verse 13, says the evening and the morning? Verse 19, the evening and the morning. Verse 23, the evening and the morning. Why does it begin? And then verse 31 says the evening and the morning. Why? When does our day begin? Morning to evening. Who wrote this? Moses did. Hebrews did. When does the Jewish, okay? When does the Jewish day of worship begin? It's a Friday, sundown. So the Jewish day begins at sundown and goes throughout night. Okay, so that's why you have evening and morning here. Just a little tidbit for you there. Any questions, comments tonight before we pray and be dismissed? Pastor Ken. I'm sorry? Yeah. Right. That's exactly right. Great point. Anything else tonight?